Max live outdoors. Mike Max Geary Leaf, Lisa Najarian and Pete Najarian in studio. Can we get Pete a chair so he doesn't?
You know, I feel like Sid right now.
Remember when we did that to him on the TV show and he didn't know? Oh, God.
I might just stand.
A little bit of last-minute tweaking here. Oh, they're in studio. Good. Thanks for coming in, Pete and Lisa.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
the fair
us.
And you had a good time, huh?
Oh, the fair was great, right?
Oh, it was awesome.
How many times? Four? Four trips? Five trips?
Something five, like maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Not too bad.
I'm glad we're not out there right now, though. It's a little dark and rainy.
Is it starting to?
Oh, yeah. It was raining out at our house. We're out in the east, and it was pouring.
It was. Oh, is that bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's why we're a little late. Sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. The reason that you're in, and obviously we talked to Pete often about the economy and about football, but this is a different reason. Lisa, you've got a big fundraiser coming up for Lyme's disease, and we need to backtrack and set the stage. It is because you carry Lyme's disease. You have been infected with it. Gary was just asking me before, how long ago did it happen, and how long did it take you to find out? Because we've done segments on this, and every time it seems like a big part of the problem is it takes a long time before people finally figure out what they have.
You're right. You're exactly right. Don't get mad at me. I'm just going to correct you because one of our things in our mission is to create awareness. So one of the things I'm going to say is that it's not Lyme's with an S. It's just Lyme.
Just Lyme?
So that's just
I didn't
one
even
thing.
Know that.
It comes from Lyme, Connecticut.
Okay.
I don't know if you know it started back then, but way back in the 70s in Lyme, Connecticut.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, all kinds of things. So I've gone undiagnosed for 16 years. I've had it for almost 20. I had no idea that I had anything, but I had all of these symptoms. So I have about 60 symptoms, so I'm not going to rattle them all off. But my first one was ringing in my left ear. Now I'm almost deaf in my left ear. So I went to an ENT, to a specialist, tried to figure that out. Have issues with my heart, went to a cardiologist. Had brain fog and to the point where there at times I couldn't remember my words or speak. Had bad brain fog, so went to a neurologist. So all these different things, it's very costly. It's a crippling disease financially and physically and mentally. So finally, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when we moved here, we had somebody at our home and I was telling him about all of my symptoms. And he said, you know, you really should go see my wife's Lyme doctor. So I went there and I finally got a positive diagnosis. I finally tested positive. But 50% of the people, so a couple of facts here for you. 50% of the people who test for Lyme disease test negative. The reason being is that Lyme lies dormant in your system, so it can skew your white blood cell count under a microscope. Also under a microscope, cancer looks like cancer. Lyme disease is called the great imitator because it looks like multiple sclerosis, it looks like fibromyalgia, ALS. There's tons of things that it looks like under a microscope. So it's very difficult to diagnose. And so part of our mission with Twin Cities Lyme Foundation is to get people to a proper Lyme literate doctor. And my best analogy right now is if you're a pregnant woman, you wouldn't go to a dentist to deliver your baby.
And that's what a lot of people in essence are doing right now.
Well,
they've got a symptom for one thing, so they go.
Right. And so, they might go to their doctor that they've been going to for the past 40 years.
Sure.
Who's their internist. And say, you know, I've got all these issues. I feel like I've got the flu. I'm super fatigued. My joints hurt. I'm getting migraine headaches. I've got vertigo. There's a ton of things. Brain fog. There's a ton of different symptoms. And no two people are alike. And that it's a little more convoluted than that, and I'll go into that in a sec if we have time. But you need to get to a Lyme literate practitioner, and you can look them up on the web. You know, there are many in the Twin Cities and in the state of Minnesota. We have a couple of them that have partnered with Twin Cities Lyme Foundation. So what you do with our website is you go to our website. We have an assessment. You take the assessment, and then we get you to one of our participating Lyme literate practitioners to get a proper diagnosis. Because I'm very passionate that I don't want people to have to go for 16 years undiagnosed. I'll probably always have Lyme, and it's fatal if you don't take care of it properly. So that's our mission with our foundation.
Did the treatments that they gave you for other symptoms help in some ways, though, fight Lyme or not?
No.
They don't. So
For the other symptoms that I had, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So if you go to a neurologist, does it still help fight the Lyme? If you have a heart condition, do they give you some medication where they might have misdiagnosed it, but it still helps treat Lyme disease? Is there only one way of treating it?
There's every doctor, every Lyme literate doctor has a different type of protocol depending on what your symptoms are, who you are, what you do, what you've got going on. Some people can't take on antibiotics. Some people choose to be on a more natural regime. The best thing is, if you know that you've been bitten by a tick and if you have a visible target rash, you need to get in immediately and get on a protocol of antibiotics for at least 6 weeks. The urgent care, the internist that you've been going to for 40 years is probably going to say, yeah, we'll put you, you might have Lyme disease, you're bitten by a tick, we're going to put you on 2 weeks. It doesn't work. You need to be on an extensive protocol of antibiotics in order to help eradicate the disease.
There's other forms of Lyme disease, like Ehrlichia or whatever, American malaria. And those, do you talk about those other attributes? I mean, that's pretty.
That's not Lyme disease, though. Those are co-infections. The ticks, it's a tick-borne illness, but it's not related to Lyme disease. It just happens to be carried by a tick. So when I said that no two people are alike and everybody gets treated differently, most people, unfortunately, have co-infections. So they don't just have Lyme disease. They also have these co-infections that these ticks are carrying. So I've got about 3 different co-infections, but you might have Lyme disease and 6 co-infections or none at all. So you manifest the symptoms completely differently than I do, and you're different. Your genotype is completely different than mine. So everybody looks different. It's why it's so difficult to diagnose.
More on it when we come back. Pete and Lisa Nigerian in studio talking about Lyme disease fundraiser coming up as well this weekend. Stay with us on Live Outdoors. It's one that affects so many different people in different ways, and it seems like more prevalent, I don't know, in this day and age, maybe because it's properly diagnosed for the first time ever. Lisa and Pete Nigerian in studio, Gary Leaf as well. Pete, what was it like for you as you watched your wife and you didn't know what the diagnosis was? You know, she didn't feel well. What was it like to chronicle that time in your life?
You know, frustrating just because never getting an answer. You know, you
are always thinking that maybe this is the cure and it wasn't.
And being an old football guy and having every injury under God's green earth, they were all easy, you know, easy to figure out. Hey, I broke my thumb, I broke my wrist, you know, I tore my ligaments. But, you know, with Lyme disease, she even had some doctors say, you know what, I'm starting to think it might just be in your head. You know, so I mean, it's
now you get all kinds of games.
Yeah, so it becomes very, very frustrating, right? I mean, so it really was something that, I mean, fortunately, she was able to see a lot of different doctors. She came up here to the University of Minnesota, even. I remember that pretty early on. And she was diagnosed with Meniere's disease.
And
because of the ringing in her ears and all the rest of that. And, you know, it made sense that they would go that direction.
It all makes sense, right?
And that's part of the problem, too, is all these things are so similar that they make some sense. And the problem is you go through whatever protocol they've put you on, and you're just not getting the results. And she went, you know, like she mentioned, 16 years. And, boy, that's frustrating. And, you know, people don't see inside the house either, you know, when she was, you know, she won't bring it up very often. But, you know, she basically bedridden on a couple of different occasions. I mean, that's how bad this really can be. And you and I were just talking. I mean, we have plenty of friends out there who've got it. And I think there's a lot of people who
I know 3 women that live in the same area that you do, yourself and 2 others, Lyme disease. And one of them's gone out east several times with an aggressive treatment. And, and I think got something by that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think there are hunters. I mean, you guys talk about hunting and fishing all the time, of course, right?
This tonight is because everybody's going in the woods right now.
Right.
They got their bone, they got their, and it just seems like we're here. But maybe we're just hearing more about it because it's being properly diagnosed.
I think that's helping, and I think that people are finding out more and more about Lyme disease. I think it really was like the last, you know, thought that doctors maybe would have oftentimes. And I think it's coming more and more to the forefront. And you know, there are ways that you can protect, and Lisa knows those better than anybody, but I mean, there are all kinds of different things you can do as you go into the woods too to help you. But I think there's luck for some guys that just don't get bit and don't have Lyme. And there's probably many guys out there and gals who probably do have Lyme.
And or a form of it, and it might be not.
Or co-infections, amazing, like we were talking about earlier, and we just don't know.
Lisa, if somebody saw it immediately and went in immediately, how much does that help their chances? And is cure the right word if you get through that soon or not?
I don't know that cure is the right word. If you were bitten by a tick, on
If I was bitten by Monday, today and I recognized that yep. there was a ring, what, you know.
If Monday you're bitten by a tick and you see a target rash, you need to go in immediately and within the first 24 hours, if you can get on 6 weeks of antibiotics, there's a really, really strong chance that you won't have any symptoms. You will be completely symptom-free. And we'd like to say that you're cured, that you don't have it, that the antibiotics killed off all of the Lyme bacteria that's in your system.
That's what you hope anyway, huh?
That's what you hope.
But you know? So many times, I mean, we've all found ticks and you go, I don't know how long it's been there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not as if this isn't like a mosquito that buzzes around. It can easily bite you without you knowing it.
That's correct. So in the springtime, they are as tiny as a little tiny piece of pepper. They're called nymphs.
Oh boy!
The very beginning. So
that's just discouraging.
It's awful. And they don't die off in the. This is great for Minnesota to know this, that they don't die off in the winter
yeah.
unless it's 10 degrees or less for a long period of time. When it snows, they don't die off in the snow. They hibernate underneath there and they breed because it's warm. It acts as a blanket. So in the springtime, when they emerge in the springtime. They're very, very tiny. And people are just amazed that they can even find them on their dog. They, you know, I see all the time on Facebook, oh, or on Instagram or whatever, oh, my dog, I found a tick and it's only May 30th or something. And they're out there because they've been hibernating all winter. So it's not like they just laid eggs and they just emerged. So a great practice for you is if you're out in the woods, if you're out playing sports, if you're out in the grass, if you're gardening, when you come in for the day, get in the shower, and you know those little nylon scrubbies that are kind of like yeah. a ball that you hang in your shower? Scrub your body from top to bottom because that's going to scrub off whatever nymphs might be on you. And just really check yourself. The other, and this is great for hunters as well, there is a product out there called permethrin, P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N. You don't spray it on your skin. You only spray it on your clothing, your boots, your...
Yep, Ron Shears mentioned this. Yep.
Yep. And use that religiously on your clothing to deter the ticks. It's or anything, you know, any bug. But that is a really great practice. And you gotta be careful when you're out there hunting or fishing or whatever. Like the guy that was on here before,
Pete, is a guy that works on Wall Street. As it becomes more prevalent, is that good news in a strange way for Wall Street? Because you know people spend money and. Put yeah. money into research where they think they can make money.
You make a great point. I look at everything as a stock.
Yeah.
And
where's the opportunity? Right.
So there are biotech companies. There are some pharmaceutical
companies.
There
are some working hard.
Are working on these types of things. And obviously there's private as well. But private, sooner or later, if they get far enough along and they have some success, that's when the Pfizers and the Mercks and the, you know, Bristol Myers, they're going to come in there and try to buy that up because they do realize that this is something that's big. And I know Lisa's mentioned this many times before. I don't think I've heard her say it today, but, you know, HIV and breast cancer and you look at some of these other things, 300,000 cases of Lyme disease per year are diagnosed.
That's more than breast cancer, more than HIV, more than hepatitis. But that shows you what the lack of awareness is out there. Yeah. We don't have enough awareness. In fact, Minnesota, southern Wisconsin and Minnesota is the second hotspot in the nation, but there's no awareness. People think that ticks fall from trees. They don't. They're in the tall grass. They are in your grass that you play in that gets mowed every day. They're on the ground. But people are unaware. They're unaware that they don't die off during the winter. So
it closest to a place that would have deer or not necessarily?
I mean,
is that, you know, is your deer ticks carry it the most?
Deer and the white-footed mouse are their two main hosts that they live on. But they will live on anything that they can suck the
breeze,
blood from.
Huh?
Yeah, that they can just get right on and hairy and warm and get in their blood. Yeah. So not great. So we do have a fundraiser coming up. Is that what you're going
to
say?
Well, I was about to get to that, but I was going to say, do you think a lot of people, everybody is so different than the way it reacts, and plus maybe the dosage of whatever they get from the tick, that some people just go on to live a normal life and not even know they're carrying?
Absolutely. You know, we can all make an excuse, and I did it for years and years and years, not knowing what I had, you know, when I was diagnosed.
But you were trying desperately to find out.
I was trying desperately, and because, you know, my father-in-law, Pete's dad, was chief of surgery in the University of Minnesota, and I went in to go see the head of otolaryngology, an ENT, and he told me I had Meniere's disease, and that was incurable. I drove home sobbing, thinking I'm never going to get rid of this. But then I had all these other symptoms, too. I had migraine headaches, and I had vertigo, and my neck hurt, and I had these heart palpitations. And I really, something inside of me said, I really think there's something else. So we can always say things like, oh, my neck hurts. Well, I've been driving the kids all day, or I've been sitting at the computer all day, or I have vertigo, sure, or I have migraines. Well, it's allergy season. Well, I'm fatigued. Yeah, but you know what? I didn't get enough sleep last night, or whatever it might be. We can always attribute whatever ails us to something else. But when you have all of these different pieces of the puzzle and you try to put them all together, and when you finally get a diagnosis of Lyme disease, you kind of go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And so it was really great when I finally tested positive. And I tested positive on the 31 band, which is a really prevalent way to test positive. I tested negative a couple times before, and I didn't really know much about it or anything like that. So when I finally tested positive, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the greatest day of my life, because I've been going all these years without knowing what I had. And that's the worst. So that's why we at our foundation really want to be able to get people to a proper diagnosis. So you just go on our website, TwinCitiesLyme.org, and click on the button. There's an assessment button on the homepage. You take that assessment. We review the assessment. We get you connected to a doctor, one of our participating Lyme literate doctors in the Twin Cities, and at least you can get a diagnosis. And you don't necessarily need a blood test. So what I've said before is that 50% of the people test negative because Lyme lies dormant in your system. But when you get to a doctor and a doctor puts you on a protocol of antibiotics, if the antibiotics make you sicker, it's called Herxheimer reaction. And what's happening is the antibiotics are killing off the bacteria in your system. And what's happening is the bacteria is bursting open and releasing toxins into your bloodstream. And it's making you sicker. So whatever symptoms you have are exacerbated by the fact that you're taking all these antibiotics.
Is it good or bad?
Well, it's bittersweet because you really feel bad.
You need to do that to...
That means that the antibiotics are working and it's killing off the Lyme bacteria. So that's a telltale that you must have Lyme. Because if you were to take a week of antibiotics and nothing happened to you, you probably don't have Lyme disease. So what's happening is you're getting this reaction. So yes, it's good because it tells the doctor, okay, now we know that you probably have Lyme disease, so let's stay consistent on this protocol and keep treating you as if you have Lyme disease, even though you've tested negative by a blood test.
I think about young kids running through the grass and playing. Do a lot of young kids, you think, contract it? And is it different
to
a kid than it is in an adult, or are they the same symptoms?
No, it's basically, everybody's different, like I said, but a lot of these poor kids are getting affected neurologically. They don't have an immune system like we do as adults. It's affecting them a little bit differently, and unfortunately, a lot of these kids are getting into school, and they're complaining. A really great documentary to watch is Under Your Skin. Under Your Skin. I think it's Under Our Skin. It's about a 2.5-hour documentary, and it talks about all these different people that have Lyme disease and were poo-pooed. People didn't believe them. I lived on the East Coast we lived on the East Coast in Connecticut for about 7 years. And I have to say that a lot of people didn't believe that I had Lyme disease because I was not diagnosed back then. So every day was different for me. One day I would wake up, I would have a migraine, and the next day I'd feel fine. The next day I would have heart palpitations, and the next day I would be fine. It's very difficult. It's difficult on social media because people will say, well, you look great, and how can you be sick if you're posting all these great pictures of you at, you know, out at a concert, or you're smiling or whatever. And it's a very difficult disease all the way around, and these poor kids in their classrooms are complaining about not being able to study, they can't read, they've got a headache, and a lot of people are not believing them. A lot of people are thinking that they're faking it, and they're not. I mean, I'll never forget one day, I was explaining something, we were talking to somebody, Pete and I were, and he said, well, you're really great at faking it. And I thought, what? How did you know that? I mean, I thought of all people, I thought that I had gotten one past him. I don't like to complain. I don't like to talk about it. And he kind of caught me, and he knew all these years of the days that I'm really, really sick, but I keep kind of pushing on. And unfortunately, these kids are sick, and they probably can't push on.
Okay, I'm going to add one little piece of humor to that, guy.
Okay, yes. Uh-oh.
Don't ever say don't ever say you're really,
I knew you were going
really good
there.
At faking it. Take a break, come back, finish
up. I am with all men here. All men.
We'll be back after this. Lisa Pete and Jerry in the studio, Gary Leaf as well, for Live Outdoors, talking about Lyme disease. And Lisa, you've got a fundraiser coming up this Saturday. Tell us more.
I do. We do. So we'll have an annual gala every September. This year, we're at the fine line this year, September 8th. We are sold out. We sold out a little early. We have a lot of really, really great sponsors that are just awesome. We have made enough money to help the people that have already filled out the assessment. And I'm trying so desperately to get through all of those assessments with having this gala come up. But it will be an annual gala, and it's a great fundraiser. We've got some awesome live auction items. We've got some awesome people that are coming in to contribute, and we're hoping that they will be annual sponsors.
So that money goes to research for, and then, I mean, do a lot of people, are they taking trial drugs, things like that? How are they treating this that way?
100% of the donations that we're getting go straight to help people get diagnosed through our Lyme literate practitioners.
This is our first annual. You might have to get a bigger
foundation.
Venue next year, since you've been.
My guy, you get a Pete skipping a gopher game. That tells you how committed he is.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple people not coming because they're skipping gopher games, and it's okay. I understand that because I love football too. So, we might have to get a bigger venue. We've got a great band playing. I don't know that I can advertise that, so I got to keep that a secret until after they play.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You like it though, Pete, huh?
It's going to be a good
Yeah, it's going to be.
You're going to say, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and so next year, the person that we've got sort of waiting in the shadows, we hope to be able to garner them as a band. And in that case, we really will have to have a larger venue. So it's great.
So in the interim, how do you find out more information about what's the website address or any social media or any of that? Let's go over that again.
So yep, we are at TwinCitiesLyme.org. And you can go, that's our website. So you can go on there and you can just educate yourself, really, number one. You can go to our resources. You could look at the myths behind. Like I said, people think they drop from trees. People think that, oh, gosh, there's a lot of different myths. So you can go there and look at that, learn just a little bit more, and then you can take our assessment to hopefully get assessed and get a diagnosis to see if that's exactly what you have going on. We're also on Facebook, Twin Cities Lyme. Instagram, Twitter.
I just wanted to add to Pete, as someone that is married to someone that went through this frustrating, what advice do you give to the partner of? Because obviously you're watching this, and there's not a lot you can do for a guy that's used to being able to do something.
Right.
I have to interject here for one second, though, because not everybody, and we've been to foundation galas before where people have come up to us and said, we need you to help to come talk to the spouse because they are having a really hard time with their spouse who's having
these issues. Yeah, they don't get it or
whatever, right? Pete is super supportive.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, Mike, it's just you have to trust and be patient. I trust what she's told me in the past. I've seen it in action and know all the issues she's had to deal with. And, you know, it's almost unbelievable because even I get fooled sometimes. I look at her and go, okay, you look pretty good. Are you sure you're not feeling good? And but unfortunately, she does feel that bad, but she's able to mask it pretty well. And I think you just have to be very, very patient as a spouse, whether you're the husband or wife of somebody who has Lyme disease. You've just got to really believe and trust that they're telling you the truth.
Lisa, appreciate it very much.
Yeah,
have a great gala on Saturday and keep us posted. Yep.
Thank you. We'll keep talking
about this because I think it's not going
to You'll have to give us an update afterwards. Can you tell us the band then after it's over?
We got to go.
Thank you, guys.
Next,